Israel announced yesterday it would bar two Democratic U.S. representatives from entering the country. The two representatives at the center of the news are Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Both lawmakers are Muslim and have been critical of Israel's Palestinian policies. The move to deny Omar and Tlaib's entry to the country came soon after President Trump made a statement on Twitter saying Israel should block the representatives from visiting. Israel later backtracked some and said Representative Tlaib could visit the West Bank on humanitarian grounds to visit her 90-year-old grandmother. Tlaib rejected that invitation. John Hudson is a reporter for The Washington Post who covers diplomacy and national security. John, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, great to be here.
Well, it's kind of an unusual diplomatic and domestic situation here. Can you start us off with an overview of why the Representatives Tlaib and Omar were saying they were going to be in Israel and Palestine?
Right. So they were going to make a trip to meet with a number of Palestinians, especially Palestinians affected by the aid cuts that the Trump administration put in place after the Palestinians have walked away from the actually refused to negotiate with the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who was trying to work out this peace deal. As you know, sort of the background, the Trump administration has done a number of things in advance of this peace deal that has been called the deal of the century. They have moved the embassy, the United States embassy, to Jerusalem, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and has also withdrawn lots of funding to the Palestinians and shut down their consulate. So the Palestinians walked away from the table, essentially these lawmakers wanted to make a visit, the president encouraged the Israeli government to not let them visit, and Netanyahu, who is a close ally of the president, decided a reversal from his previous decision, said that the lawmakers could no longer enter Israel.
Well, let's step back on that. Is this an unusual situation where you have an American president encouraging another country to bar members of Congress from visiting?
Yeah, absolutely. It's unprecedented. No one can really point to a historical circumstance whereby the president encourages a foreign power to limit the travel rights of a domestic enemy. Domestic opponent is probably the right way to say it. A member of Congress. We're talking about a country with regards to Israel that refers to itself as the only democracy in the Middle East. A lot of Democrats objecting to the fact that a democracy does not prevent people from entering the country based on those people's political views. That's what's happening in Israel right now. The two lawmakers have expressed support for a boycott movement, boycotting Israel, in exchange they've been prevented from entering the country.
We've seen a lot of response to this, including from some very pro-Israeli groups in the United States, including, I think, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, or AIPAC, saying, hey, we really disagree with everything these two members of Congress stand for when it comes to Israel, but they encouraged Israel to still allow the visits. Can you talk about some of the range of reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good example. AIPAC is one of the most powerful organizations in Washington, D.C., when it comes to foreign policy. It is an 800-pound gorilla, and AIPAC almost never disagrees with the government of Israel. And so for it to say that this was a decision that was a mistake and criticizing the Israeli government for not letting them in is a pretty massive moment. Basically, you've seen a number of American Jewish organizations that are extremely pro-Israel and reliably pro-Israel have criticized this decision, essentially saying that, for lawmakers that have opposing views with regards to Israel, they should be allowed to come and visit the country. A number of pro-Israel lawmakers who are not by no means allies of Omar and Tlaib have really privately expressed regret about the decision because they feel that it draws sympathy to the cause of Tlaib and Omar.
Talking to John Hudson from the Washington Post, he covers diplomacy and national security, talking about this saga to American members of Congress, barred from visiting Israel with President Trump's encouragement. And now, John, some more wrinkles over the last day. Israel said, hold on, Representative Tlaib could visit her 90-year-old grandmother in the West Bank on humanitarian grounds, with some limits as to what she could actually do on the visit. Talk about that part of the story as it's gone on over the last day.
Yeah, it's a fascinating sort of side angle. So the Israelis said that Tlaib could only enter Israel on condition that she promised not to promote any boycotts of Israel while on the trip. Initially, Tlaib signed a document saying she was open to doing this. She took a number of criticisms within the pro-Palestinian community for this. She was in a really difficult place in the sense that she had to balance her desire to visit her grandmother in the West Bank, who's very old, might have been the last opportunities to visit her. And she could do that on the one hand, or she would have to, but if she was going to visit her, she would have to agree to not promote any boycotts against Israel, which, of course, is a very strongly held view from her point, who's very pro-Palestinian cause, very sympathetic with the Palestinian cause. So after thinking about it, she decided that she did not want to agree to be muzzled on this trip and felt like that would be a concession. The Israelis then took the unusual step of actually publishing the letter that she had originally signed when she was going to go along with this agreement to muzzle herself while in Israel. They published that letter, even though she had changed her mind. That prompted some angry statements from the Democratic majorities. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer put out a statement saying it was inappropriate to leak that. He's been the one that has sort of, along with other Democrats, negotiating on her behalf. They were upset at the Israelis for basically criticizing her, saying that she cares more about criticizing Israel than her own grandmother.
Let's step back a little bit now. As you mentioned, this all happens in the backdrop of Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, trying to broker a peace deal, which occurs in the backdrop of a long history of efforts at peace deals. Does this, what we're seeing this week with these two members of Congress, is that something that's going to affect these peace negotiations one way or another? Or is this just going to be a sideshow in the big picture?
Well, it's not going out on a limb to say that this peace agreement has been pretty much dead in the water for several months now. The Israelis, quite frankly, have behind the scenes been pushing for a delayed release. They're not excited about it coming out. The Palestinians feel that they have swallowed so many concessions that that the U.S. is no longer a neutral mediator. And so there weren't a lot of places for this to go. It certainly doesn't strengthen Washington's hand at being perceived as a broker for a peace deal. So in that sense, not much has really changed.
And then looking at domestic politics, some people have worried, some supporters of Israel have worried that this could damage what's mostly been a bipartisan consensus, Democrats and Republicans supporting Israel. What do you see the impact in places like Congress, John?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, in general, it's pretty unprecedented for the Israeli government to deny travel for a member of Congress. That's been widely seen as a big misstep. But you got to remember that there are extremely powerful institutions in Washington that advance a pro-Israel agenda, that are very well financed, that are continuing. They're not going to go away. They're going to still be extremely powerful in influencing, in some cases, dictating America's foreign policy in the Middle East. And so many of these forces believe this was an upset and something that's publicly embarrassing, but those institutions aren't going to go away. And so Congress is still going to be an overwhelmingly pro-Israel organization when it comes to the universe of opinions there. And Omar and Tlaib and voices that are slightly more skeptical, Senator Bernie Sanders, to a lesser extent, Senator Elizabeth Warren, those voices will be out there, and they're increasing in number, but in general, Congress is still overwhelmingly pro-Israel, and there's not an immediate sign that that's going to subside anytime soon.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be with you.
That's John Hudson, reporter at The Washington Post, who covers diplomacy and national security. He joins us today to talk about Israel's decision to bar U.S. Representatives Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib from the country and the U.S.-Israel relationship.